Unit 19, Round Table Conferences. Page 19. Structure 19.0. Objectives 19.1. Introduction 19.2. First Round Table Conference 19.3. Gandhi-Irwin Pact 19.4. Second Round Table Conference 19.5. Third Round Table Conference 19.6. Let us sum up. 19.7. Check your progress. 19.8. Books for further reading. Page 20. 19.0. Objectives. In this unit, we have discussed about the historical three roundtable conferences held in London. After reading this unit, you should be able to understand 1. The government utilized the first and second roundtable conferences to justify that the Indians could not take a united stand. Number 2. The government resorted to merciless repression and the Congress did not participate in the first roundtable conference. Number 3. The Gandhi-Irwin Pact was a reciprocal agreement made on mutual goodwill. Number 4. The civil disobedience movement was revived in January 1932 after Gandhi's return from his second roundtable conference. Number 5. The Congress did not participate in the third roundtable conference. Number 6. The deliberation at the third roundtable conference led to the passing of Act of 1935. 19.1. Introduction. Roundtable conference was held in London in 1932 in consonance with the declaration made on the 31st August 1929 by the Viceroy. Lord Irwin that after publication of the report of the Simon Commission, a roundtable conference would be convened in London to draw up a new constitution for India. It was a measure to conciliate Indian public opinion, which was very much estranged by the all-white composition of the commission. The Indian National Congress at its 1929 session at Lahore with Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru as the president declared the attainment of complete independence was its goal and nothing was to be gained by the Congress taking part in the proposed roundtable conference on the 6th of April 1930. Mahatma Gandhi started the civil disobedience movement. A month later, the report of the Simon Commission was published. Government issued new coercive ordinances and by resorting to various repressive measures, including the arrest and detention of the Congress leaders, including Mahatma Gandhi, suppressed the outward manifestation of the civil disobedience movement. But discontent continued to seethe beneath the surface. It was in order to allay this continued discontent that the roundtable conference of the representatives of the all political parties in India as well as of England was called in London in November 1931. Ramsay MacDonald, the Prime Minister of Britain, presided over the conference, which held three sessions. The first from 16th November 1930 to 19th January 1931. The second from 1st September to 1st December 1931 and the third from 17th November to 24th December 1932. Page 21. The Indian National Congress sent no representative to the first session of the Roundtable Conference, yet it resulted in one single advance, namely the agreement of the British government to concede the responsibility of the executive to the legislature in India, both in the provinces and at the centre. Provided the central legislature was constituted on a basis of federation between British India and the Indian India ruled by the princes. The second session was attended by Mahatma Gandhi as the sole representative of the Indian National Congress and devoted its main efforts to settling the difficult questions of the proportion of communal representation. This could not be settled by mutual agreement, as the Muslims were always led to believe that they would be getting more from the British than from an agreement with the Hindus. Making this statement an excuse, Mr. Ramsay MacDonald announced a communal award which gave separate representation not only to the recognized religious minorities but even to the depressed classes among the Hindus. This was deeply resented by Mahatma Gandhi, who went on a fast unto death against it and led to the acceptance of the Pune Pact by the Congress and the British government. The worst problem of communal representation was thus settled in a way which was not very satisfactory, but which was accepted by all parties in the absence of a better one. The third session of the Round Table Conference agreed upon certain principles of constitutional development in India, which were drawn up in a white paper which was submitted to a joint select committee of both houses of parliament and eventually formed the basis of Government of India Act 1935. 19.2. First Roundtable Conference. The Indian political community received the Simon Commission report issued in June 1930 with great resentment. Different political parties gave vent to their feelings in different ways. The Congress started a civil disobedience movement under Gandhi's command. The Muslims reserved their opinion on the Simon report, declaring that the report was not final and the matter should be decided after consultations with the leaders representing all communities in India. The Indian political situation seemed deadlocked. The British government refused to contemplate any form of self-government for the people of India. This caused frustration amongst the masses, who often expressed their anger in violent clashes. The Labour government returned to power in Britain in 1931, and a glimmer of hope ran through Indian hearts. Labour leaders had always been sympathetic to Indian cause. The government decided to hold a roundtable conference in London to consider new constitutional reforms. All Indian political Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs and Christians were summoned to London for the conference. Page 22. Gandhi immediately insisted at the conference that he alone spoke for all Indians and that the Congress was the party of the people of India. He argued that the other parties only represented sectarian viewpoints with little or no significant following. The first session of the conference opened in London on November 12, 1930. All parties were present except for the Congress, whose leaders were in jail due to the civil disobedience movement. Congress leaders stated that they would have nothing to do with further constitutional discussions unless the Nehru report was enforced in its entirety as the Constitution of India. Almost 89 members attended the conference, put of which 58 were chosen from various communities and interests in British India, and the rest from princely states and other political parties. The prominent among the Muslim delegates invited by the British government were Sir Aga Khan, Qaid-e-Azam, Maulana Mahmood Ali Johar, Sir Muhammad Safi, and Maulvi Fazl-e-Haq, Sir Tej Bahadur Sapru, Mr. Jaikar and Dr. Munji were outstanding amongst the Hindu leaders. The Muslim-Hindu differences overcasted the conference as the Hindus were pushing for a powerful central government while the Muslims stood for a loose federation of completely autonomous provinces. The Muslims demanded maintenance of weightage and separate electorates. The Hindus, their abolition. The Muslims claimed statutory majority in Punjab and Bengal, while Hindus resisted their imposition. In Punjab, the situation was complicated by inflated Sikh claims. 8 subcommittees were set up to deal with the deals. These committees dealt with the federal structure, provincial constitution, franchise, Sindh, the Northwest Frontier Province, defense services and minorities. The Congress broke up on January 19, 1931. And what emerged from it was a general agreement to write safeguards for minorities into the constitution and a vague desire to devise a federal system for the country. 19.3. Gandhi-Irwin Pact. After the conclusion of the first roundtable conference, the British government realized that the cooperation of the Indian National Congress was necessary for further advancement in making of the Indian constitution. Thus, Lord Irwin, the Viceroy, extended an invitation to Gandhi for talks. Gandhi agreed to end the civil disobedience movement without laying down by any preconditions. Page 23. The agreement between Gandhi and Irwin was signed on March 5, 1931. Following are the salient features of this agreement. 1. The Congress would discontinue the civil disobedience movement. 2. The Congress would participate in the Roundtable Conference. 3. The government would withdraw all ordinances issued to curb the Congress. 4. The government would withdraw all prosecutions relating to offenses not involving violence. 5. The government would release all persons undergoing sentences of imprisonment for their activities in the civil disobedience movement. The pact shows that the British government was anxious to bring the Congress to the conference table. The Gandhi-Irwin Pact was a reciprocal agreement made on mutual goodwill. The pact allowed congressmen freedom to advocate Purna Swaraj. Thus, it set Indians on the last lap of the road for complete independence. For the first time in the history of Indians' freedom struggle, the British government came down from its high pedestal, treated its opponent in the Congress on a footing of equality, and entered into a prolonged negotiation with its accredited agent Gandhi to settle the terms of peace. In effect, the British practically conceded to the Congress a status and authority to speak for India and admitted its right to be heard on all future negotiations. A large section of the people regarded the pact as a victory to Gandhi and the Congress. But Gandhi described it as a victory for both the sides. It was hailed as an important landmark in the constitutional history of India. For a time being, the pact cried halt to the government repression. The Congress was in a strong position to struggle for freedom. It resulted in the suspension of civil disobedience and in Gandhi's participation in the Second Roundtable Conference. 19.4 Second Roundtable Conference. The Second Roundtable Conference opened in London on September 7, 1931, was done through the two committees who done structure and minorities. Gandhi was a member of both, but he adopted a very unreasonable attitude. He claimed that he represented all India and dismissed all other Indian delegates as a non-representative because they did not belong to the Congress. Page 24. The communal problem represented the most difficult issues for the delegates. Gandhi again tabled the Congress scene for a settlement, a mere reproduction of the Nehru report. But all the minorities rejected it. As a counter to the Congress scheme, the Muslims, the depressed classes and the Indian Christians, the Anglo-Indians and the Europeans represented a joint statement of claims which they said must stand as an independent whole. As their main demands were not acceptable to Gandhi, the communal issue was postponed for further discussion. Three important committees drafted their reports: the Franchise Committee, the Federal Finance Committee and the States Inquiry Committee. On the concluding day, the British Prime Minister Ramsay MacDonald appealed to the Indian leaders to reach a communal settlement. Failing to do so, he said, would force the British government would a unilateral decision. Qaeda-e-Azam did not participate in the session of the Second Roundtable Conference as he had decided to keep himself aloof from the Indian politics and to practice as a professional lawyer in England. Gandhiji was chosen as the sole representative of the Congress at the second session of the Roundtable Conference. But the communal question proved a baffling problem, and as no agreement was possible between Indian leaders, the Prime Minister Mr. Ramsay MacDonald had to make the famous communal award. On his return to India on 28th December 1931, Gandhiji found government repression in full swing. He requested for an interview with the Viceroy, was refused, and on 1st January 1932, the Working Committee of the Congress adopted a resolution of the renewal of civil disobedience and the boycott of British goods. On 4th January, Gandhiji was arrested. The government declared the Congress to be an illegal body and issued a number of repressive ordinances. They were openly defied and the government took severe measures against the resistance movement. According to Congress estimates, more than 120,000 persons were arrested by the end of March 1933, and a dismal record: wholesale violence, physical outrages, shooting and beating up, punitive expeditions, collective fines on villages and seizure of lands and property of villages is found in the Indian League delegation report issued in 1933. It was at this juncture that the British government announced its constitutional proposals. The establishment of a separate electorate for the depressed classes, which formed a part of the communal award given by Ramsay MacDonald in August 1932, provoked Gandhiji, then in jail, to undertake a fast. Page 25. The result was the Pune Pact, 24th September 3, which nearly doubled the number of seats reserved for the depressed classes, to be filled by a common joint electorate out of a panel of names originally chosen by them alone. 19.5. Third Roundtable Conference. The third session began on November 17, 1932. It was short and unimportant. The Congress was once again absent. So was the Labour opposition in the British Parliament. Reports of the various committees were scrutinized. The conference ended on December 25, 1932. The recommendations of the Roundtable Conference were embodied in the White Paper. It was published in March 1933 and debated in Parliament directly afterwards. Analyzed by the Joint Select Committee and after the final reading and loyal assent, the bill reached the statute book on July 24, 1935. The important terms of the White Paper were as follows. 1. The federal government consisting of the provinces of British India and the Indian states was to be set up at the center with a bicameral federal legislature. 2. The provinces were to be given complete autonomy with certain safeguards. 3. The demarcation between the central and provincial spheres of administration was provided. 4. Certain federal institutions such as the Federal Court, Reserve Bank and Railway Federal Authority were also to be set up. The White Paper was examined by Joint Select Committee consisting of 16 members of both the houses under the chairmanship of Lord Linlithgow. This committee recommended certain changes which are as follows. Bicameral legislature at the six provinces should be introduced. 2. Upper chambers in centre as well as the provinces should be indissoluble. 3. There should be indirect election for the Federal Assembly. The White Paper did not satisfy the party or group of politicians or any community in India. The central legislature recorded a strong protest against some of the fundamental issues raised by the White Paper. Page 26. The Indian Liberals received the White Paper with supreme dissatisfaction and proposed substantial modifications. All India Muslim Conference expressed deep disappointment over the numerous statutory restrictions. The Indian princes were unhappy over the conditions stipulated for the entry into the federal scheme. Undaunted by the situation in India, the authorities in London went ahead with the Joint Select Committee recommendations. On the basis of the recommendations, a bill was drafted, passed by the Parliament, received the royal assent and became an act, known as Government of India Act 1935. 19.6. Let us sum up. In this unit, we have outlined the chief features of the roundtable conferences held in London. Gandhiji started the civil disobedience movement as a fight to the finish, but it ended unfinished. True, the salt satyagraha developed into a mass movement and enveloped the entire country, though its success was qualified. The Gandhi-Irwin Pact promised much but achieved precious little. The little that it achieved was the suspension of the movement and Gandhi's participation in the second roundtable conference. The solo participation of Gandhi in the conference could neither forge a common understanding among the delegates about the communal question nor wrest constitutional concessions. Flouting the terms of the Gandhi-Irwin Pact by the Viceroy Wellington and resumption of repressive measures compelled Gandhi in restart the civil disobedience movement. The announcement of the communal award by the British Prime Minister introduced an unwelcome interlude in the freedom struggle and had driven wedge in the effort towards national solidarity. It encouraged communal separatism. The Roundtable Conference served only to fan the fire of communal politics through they were able to hammer out a basis for the Government of India Act of 1935. 19.7. Check your progress. 1. Answer the following in 6 sentences each. Number 1. White paper. Number 2. Joint Select Committee. Number 3. Prime Minister MacDonald. Page 27. Number 2. Answer the following in about 15 lines each. 1. Describe the attitude of Gandhi in the round table conferences. 2. Discuss the main features of Gandhi-Irwin Pact and point out its results. 19.7. Books for further reading. Number 1. Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan series, Struggle for Freedom. 2. D.C. Gupta, Indian National Movement and Constitutional Development. 3. Tarachand, History of Freedom Movement in India. 4. Kanji Dwarka Das, India's Fight for Freedom. S. Mir Samiullah.
Page 28. Notes.